Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 6 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Tes Zayin. We quote from the Mishnah, Im Omar Lo Atzil Es Shelcha, if the owner of the wine mentioned to the owner of the honey, I will save yours and you will pay me for the wine that I'm pouring out in order to save your honey. So the Mishnah says, Chayav Liten Lo, the owner of the honey has to do so. The topic that we're about to learn is introduced on the side in the margin under the Nosei, the topic heading, which reads, Acharei Shebal Hayayin Hitzel Dusha Shel Chavero, after the owner of the wine saved the honey of his friend, Baal Hadvash Tzorch L'Shalem the Baal Hayayin, the owner of the honey has to pay the owner of the wine, as we saw in the Mishnah, when, of course, the owner of the wine announces ahead of time that he expects a full payment for the wine that he has to dispense. Lomo Baal Hadvash Tzorch L'Shalem Klum. The question the Gemara will raise, why does the owner of the honey have to pay anything? Harehu Yochol Utoin, could he not say, Mishatani Boch, well, I was just kidding, I wasn't serious when I agreed to pay you for the wine. Now, the Gemara. As we just indicated, we open up with a question. It's a long question. Amai means, why does the owner of the honey have to pay for the wine at all? V'nei mole, let the owner of the honey say, Mishatani Boch, I was just kidding. Milo Tanya, do we not in fact have a Taneg source which reasons thusly? An individual was running away from prison. He was escaping from prison. And there was a ferry to carry him across a river. Omar Lo, and the escapee says, Toil dinar vavireni, take a dinar, it's a coin, and cross me, carry me across, and ferry me across the river. Ein lo elos choro. The owner of the ferry can demand only his actual wages, but the full amount that he was promised, namely the dinar, which in the context is more than the cost of being ferried across, that he can't demand. Alma, we see from here, Omar Le, the escapee, can say, Mishatani Boch, I said, take a dinar and have me and cross me over. Yeah, I was just kidding. Hachanami, so too in our case, in our Mishnah, Leimole, let the owner of the honey say, Mishatani Boch, I was just kidding when I agreed to your conditions of paying you for the wine. The Gemara responds and says, if you want to draw a parallel between the case of the honey and a situation of ferrying across, ha lo domi elo l'seifa, the case of the wine owner spilling out his wine is comparable to the following, to the continuation of the source of the escapee. V'im omar lo, toil dinar ze bischorcha vavireni, take this dinar as payment for your services and cross me over. Noisein lo schoro mushlam, then he has to pay in full. Maishno reisho, maishno seifa. What is the difference between the reisho, the first part where he cannot demand the full amount, and in the seifa he can? Oma romi barchamo, betzayid hashoyle dogim min hayam. We're describing, we're featuring a fisherman He is the owner of the boat. The Amale, he has a claim against the escapee. If you're not going to pay me in full, the Amale af sadetani kavri bezuza. You caused me a loss of kavri or fish to the value of a zuz. This is explained in fuller terms by looking together in the Rashi. The Afsadeton Kavri Bezuzo, we have a little star in the Rashi to make it easier to find across from here. Fahainu Bischoroi Dekotoni Tol Dinar Bischar Shato Mafsid Kan Vitavi Reni. In the Seifa, we saw the escapee saying, take this dinar as payment for what you otherwise would have profited. In other words, by having me, by ferrying me across, you're going to lose out what you otherwise would have made, namely the dinar. So where that is declared, you have to pay in full. The term bischoro that we saw in the Tanaic source, take this dinar as your schar, not just take the dinar and cross me over, but take this dinar as your schar, as your pay. The parallel is in our Mishnah, Masisanami Harehev Sedo Nikr. In the Mishnah, the loss was clear, the loss of the wine. The wine had a clear value. The fisherman who was going to now trouble himself in crossing him over, ferrying him across, his loss is also clear. The amount of fish he would have caught in the time that he's now spending in ferrying him across. The Gemara continues. Shotaf nor chamoro v'chamor chavero, shelo yofe mone v'chulei. In our Mishnah, we had two examples of what seemed to be the same thing, of someone forfeiting his own lesser value item in favor of saving his friend's greater value item. And the Gemara makes a point. We have this marked as a long point. Utsricha, I need the two examples, the honey and the donkey. The Ashmin and Kamaisa, had the Mishnah taught only the case of the honey. Hasimhu, the Chipiresh, Yoyevle, Dome Kule. There, where the owner of the wine, the one who was forfeiting his own, where he spelled it out, he gets full compensation, not just wages for the time invested, but full compensation. Mishum debiodayim koposid. Because there, he spilled out, he proactively lost his own stuff. He spilled out his wine. Aval hocha, the case of the donkey that fell into the water. De memela, there the loss was not something proactive. It happened by the way. It happened on its own. The river washed it away. Nemo, I might think, ain lo elaschoro there. He can get only his wages for the services and not get reparation for the donkey that he forfeited. Even though he spelled out ahead of time saying, I'm going to save your more expensive donkey and you'll pay me for mine. That wouldn't have helped because there the hefsid was memela. V'yi ashmin ha-seifa, and had we taught the case of the donkey, hocha hu debestamo ein lo el aschoro. In that case where the conditions were not spelled out, so we say he gets only his wages. Mishum the memela, because there the loss was in a by-the-way fashion. The river swept it away. The owner didn't do anything proactively. Avol hasam, in the case of the honey and the wine, to be odayim, where the owner of the wine spilled out his wine in favor of saving his friend's honey, emo afilu bestamo yoiv le deme kula. I might think that even if the conditions weren't spelled out, the owner of the wine would be entitled to full compensation for the wine. Tzricha, therefore, we have to tell you that case as well, to spell out in that case as well, the honey and the wine, that he will not, the owner of the wine will not get full compensation unless he spells it out ahead of time. Bo mine Rav Kano me Rav. Rav Kana asks, Yorad lahatzil va'olo shelo me'elov mahu. A person went down in the donkey case, for example. He announced, "I'm going to save your donkey with the understanding that you'll pay me for mine." So he spelled it out, and he saved his friend's donkey, and his own wasn't a loss. He found his own resurfaced later downstream. So what's the din then? Mahu omale. So Rav answered, Mishmayo Rahimu Ale. He has a right to get the payment for his donkey from the owner of the more expensive donkey. And that which he benefited in his own donkey actually not being a loss, that's because heaven smiled upon him. Heaven had mercy on him. But that doesn't play a role in exempting the beneficiary of compensating the one that saved the more expensive donkey from receiving payment, as was agreed. Kiha de Rav Safra, an incident that illustrates this, involved Rav Safra, Havikozil b'shayarto, he was traveling in a caravan, Lovinu hahu ari, and a lion accompanied the caravan, and the lion's role was to protect them from other wild animals and from bandits. Now, in order to gain the cooperation of a lion, the following was the arrangement. Every evening, a member of the caravan, a different member of the caravan, would throw his donkey to the lion feed the lion and placate any evil harborings that he may have. Kimota Zimneid Rav Safra, when Rav Safra's turn came, Shadrle Chamri, he threw a donkey to the lion. Velo Achle, and the lion did not eat Rav Safra's donkey. Kodim Rav Safra Vazochabe, and Rav Safra lunged forth to take possession of it, to regain possession of it. Now, you see here that Rav Safra was expected to pay out the donkey, and at the end of the day, he min hashamayim, from heaven, they spared him of having to lose his donkey, and he was able to benefit by, at the same time, fulfilling his communal obligation. Omalei Rav Acha midifti the Ravina. Lomalei lemiskibe. Why did Rav Safra have to make a special effort to regain possession of it? Nehi dechi afkere adaita de arye afkere adaita de kule alma lo afkere. Granted, he renounced ownership of it, but that was a renouncement in favor of the lion. But a renouncement of ownership in favor of everybody? Not so. So the question is, why did Rav Safra, who never intended to renounce ownership to everybody, why did he have to make a special effort to regain ownership? It automatically reverts to him. Omar Lay, so he, Ravina answers Rav Acha, Rav Safra the Rav Chod Milsa Hudavet. Rav Safra wasn't behaving according to the letter of the law. He was going beyond the letter of the law so that no one would have any qualms against his continued ownership of the donkey. So he made a special act of acquisition so as to quiet any potential protester of Rav Safra's repossession of the donkey. Bo mine Rav me Rebbe. Rav asks of Rebbe a question. Yorad lahatziv lo hitzil mahu. The person descended into the water to save the donkey, the more expensive donkey, and he was unsuccessful. What is the din now regarding payment? Omar lo vezu she'ela. Is this even a question? Ein lo elos choro. He has a right to demand no more than the wages for the time that he invested. This answer basically tells us that the donkey that he owned, his own donkey that he had to, that he forfeited, that he doesn't get compensation for. But he has a right to the wages for his efforts. Eisvei, we raise an objection now to this. Hasocher sapoyel, someone hired a worker, and we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Lahavi kruv v'dur maskinin l'chayla. Kruv and dur maskinin are different types of food items or vegetation. He was hired to bring these to an ailing individual. V'alachu matzah shemeis o shehivri, and the agent went and found either the party dead or altogether better. No sein lo schoro mushlam. He gets, the agent is entitled to full wages. We've dashed underline the word mushlam, indicating that even though the agent's efforts were not, let's say, realized to full fruition, he gets full compensation. The mushlam is the word that represents a question on Rav, because in the case Rav had responded where the act of agency didn't come to full realization. He didn't successfully save the donkey, so he's not entitled to full compensation, just a basic wage compensation. Here you have a case of agency which wasn't carried out in full, in the sense that you didn't have the food items brought to a sick man, and yet he gets full compensation. Omar le mi dummy. So Rebbe responds to Rav and says, how can you compare these cases? Hassam, in the case of the agent hired to deliver to the sick individual, the agent did everything that he was asked to do. What was he asked to do? Bring these food items to that individual. He did everything he could have done. Haha, in the case of the donkey, lo aved shliach shluchusay. In the case of the saving of the donkey, there was an effort made to save it, but he didn't actually save the donkey. He didn't do everything that he was expected to do at the outset. Therefore, the difference in payment. You notice in our Mark Gemoras, diamonds appear on the side under our Nosei/Mivne heading. We indicate this is a Sidra, a series shel brisos of Tanaic sources. Shehameshutaf lahem, what's common to them, kvutza shel anoshim shenitzlu miklal sakona. Cases where people were saved from what otherwise was a dangerous situation. Now the various cases. Tana Rabbanan. Shayora shoy samaleches bamidbar. A caravan traveling in the desert. The Omen Allah Gaius Latorfa. And some armed pack came to ravage the travelers. And they reached some kind of settlement, some kind of financial settlement. So they were saved from being ravaged. Now the question is, how is the financial burden to be borne amongst all of the members of the caravan? Mechashvin lefi mamon ve'ein mechashvin lefi nefashos. The calculation is made in accordance with the we'll say the value of each individual. Who was worth more, he who had more money, would pay a greater percentage in distributing the financial burden concerning the money that was laid out. He who had less money contributes less. So it's dependent on the value the wealth of the respective individuals. Ein mechashen lefi nefashos means that we don't calculate the money in accordance with each individual member of the caravan. In other words, an equal per person cost. That's not how this calculation is made. But rather, the calculation is made in accordance with each individual's level of wealth. V'im sochru tayer ha'ilich lefneim. A tayer is a guide. We call him a desert guide who guides the caravan through a hopefully safe route through the desert. Mechashvin af lefi nefoshes. The wages paid to the guide are paid in accordance, you take into consideration also the individual and a per person cost, an equal per person cost. V'lo yishanu miminog achamorim. And one is not to, if there's a custom, an accepted custom, one is not to deviate from that. So that if the tayor was paid in accordance with people's financial status, that the more you were worth, the more you would have to contribute toward his wages. So that, if that's the practice, that's the way to go. And if it's lefi nefoshos, if it's a per person method of calculation, so then that's the way to go. Rashoin achamorim lahasnois, the chamorim are the donkey drivers. They can make a condition amongst them. If you have a group of donkey drivers, you can imagine a whole pack of donkeys carrying burden, carrying transporting goods. So these are the chamorim, the donkey drivers, can make a stipulation amongst them. Shekomi shiyoved lo chamoro, yamid lo chamor acher. That anyone who loses a donkey, they are to supply him with a replacement donkey. Bekusya ein mamidim, shelo bekusya mamidim lo. If the loss is bekusya, means through negligence, then he's not entitled to a replacement. If a loss through non-negligence, he is entitled to a replacement. V'im omar, and if the one who lost his donkey says, Tenu li vani lokeach, give me the cash and I'll buy a donkey, ein shomin lo, we don't cooperate with him with that request. Rashi on the second narrow line says, ein shomin lo, shema lo yikach hachamor. If we give him cash, he won't go and buy a donkey. The whole understanding and condition amongst them was that he should buy a donkey. He who has animals with him will extend himself more to guard against bandits and carnivorous animals. If you simply have cash in your pocket, you're not going to extend yourself in sharing in the burden of guarding. The Gemara regarding this last point says, Pshita, is it not obvious that if he expects money, that's not, we're not going to cooperate with that request? Lo tzricha, no, this Tanaic source needs to tell us that we don't give him the money. The Islei Chamra Achrina, it's an individual that has another donkey. He already has a need to participate in the watching and sharing in the burden of guarding at nights. So mahu detema ha komintale. You might have thought that since he already has another donkey, he's going to be mintar is going to he's going to watch anyway. Rashi says, "Kom mintale v'afilu im yomar." He might say, I've got one donkey that I can watch. Two, I won't be able to watch. Komash Malon, we say back, we tell you that Shaini Netirusa Dechad Min Netirusa Debeit Rei, the quality of watching, the amount of effort expended in watching just one is less than the amount of effort one will expend in watching two. In other words, the more you have, the more you'll put yourself out. So that if he claims that one I can watch, two I can't, we will tell him back, if you have, the more you have, all the more so you will extend yourself. And that's why we don't cooperate with his request to have to receive a cash payment in lieu of the donkey. Tonu Rabbanan, Sfina, Shoysim Aleches Bayam, a boat that was traveling on the sea. Omar Olam Nachshol Letoiva, a wave threatened to capsize the boat, to sink the boat. Vekilu Mimasa, and in order to maintain buoyancy, they reduced the cargo content of the boat. Mechashvin lefi masui, ve'ein mechashvin lefi mamon. How much must people throw overboard to lighten the boat, enabling it to remain more buoyant? The calculation is made according to weight, not according to value. So that if one person is throwing over 100 pounds of gold, the second party can fulfill his communal obligation by throwing over 100 pounds of iron. Velo yishanu miminag asaponim. And no one should deviate from whatever is the accepted custom of seafarers. The Rashoyin HaSaponim, Saponim are the captains of boats, the ones that are responsible for driving the ship. The Rashoyin HaSaponim, Lahasnois Shekomi She'ovdo Loi Sfino, Yamid Loi Sfino Acheres. My understanding is that we're dealing with a type of armada of ships. They're traveling on the water like a caravan travels on land, and hence if someone loses their boat, a replacement boat must be provided. Avdalo bekusyo ein mamidim, shelo bekusyo mamidim lo. If the loss was through negligence, then he's not entitled to a replacement, and if through non-negligence, then yes. Ve'i pireish lamokum shein hasfinos holchin ein mamidim. And if the boat traveled, pireish means it distanced itself to a point, and here I think it's more easy. It's easier to explain this in terms of river barges or river boats, where there was a very strong current in the middle of the river. And that is not a place that's recommended, that's safe for boat travel. So boat travel involved, let's say, careful positioning of the boat in the water, not to be too distant from the river bank, not to be too, say, centrally located in the river channel. So if the fellow who loses the boat happened to direct the boat to a place where boats don't go, then he's not entitled to a replacement. The Gemara says, pshita, that's obvious. It's a form of negligence, allowing your boat to go into the middle of the river, into the strong current. Lo, tzricha, no, this source needs to be taught in the following. De benison mirachiki chad ashla, ubetishre mirachiki tre ashli. Ashli is a rope, or in this case, a rope length. In Nisan, where in the area of Israel, that was the end of the rainy season. There was a large amount, as an increased water content in rivers in Nisan. It therefore was not necessary for the boat to distance itself too far from the bank. It would travel in Nisan one rope length. Tishrei, the end of the summer season, Tishrei, the beginning of the autumn season. So there have been many months of non-rainfall, water evaporation, water level of river, hence declining, diminishing. Boats would travel further away from the shore, from the banks, in order to reach a sufficient depth of water for the boat in which to travel. That's, we'll say, the givens, that in Nisan, the boat travels one rope length. In Tishrei, the boat distances itself even further toward the middle, two rope lengths. And what this source is featuring is that the captain of the boat that went to what's called Mokum Shena Sfinas Holchim, what does that mean? It went in the Nisan season too far. It went, instead of traveling one rope length in Nisan, which is what should have been, the captain allowed the boat to go two rope lengths in Nisan. So it went in the time of Nisan to where boats would go in Tishrei. And as a result, the boat capsized or sunk, experienced the damage. Mahu detema, without the source, I would have thought, Davsha nokid v'ozil. Davsha is a term indicating that which is customary, that which is regular. The two rope length distance is a regular phenomenon in Yomei Tishrei. True, he did so in Yomei Nisan, but since it's a distance that's regularly traveled in, maybe it's not an act of negligence, and he should be entitled to the replacement. Komash Malon, this source tells us that that's not so. That you have to be more diligent and recognize that in Nisan, you must remain closer to the bank one rope length and not two. And hence, if you allowed it in Yomei Nisan to go two rope lengths, you're not entitled to a replacement. Tanu Rabbanon, Shayoro Shahoiso Malechas Bamidbor, V'omad Gaius V'tarfa, V'omad Echod Mehen V'hitzil, a caravan traveling through the desert was plundered by an evil force. A Gaius means a band of robbers. And one of the caravan members arose and retrieved all of the plundered items. Hitzil li emta. That means that everything that he saved is distributed, each item to the owner, assuming that each individual recognizes that which was his. The imomar, this brave man says, ani atzil latzmi, I'm going to go and save everything and keep it for myself. Itzil atzmo. Then he can keep it for himself. Hey chitomi, what are the circumstances? E diyocho lahatzil, if the real owners are also capable of saving. Afilu seifo nami lemsa. Even in the end of this source, he would have no right to keep the items. There's a Rashi about halfway down the Rashi commentary. E shi chulin b'ilim mahatzil. If the owners are capable of saving, lo ayash, they wouldn't have given up hope. Vafilu omar liatzmo. Even if the one who did actually act announced he's keeping them for himself, Goslin would be considered a thief. So that is not the circumstance of the source that we read. Because in the source we read, if he announced, I'm saving the items for myself, he's entitled to. We continue in the Gemara, and if the owners are incapable of saving their own things, afilu reisha nami latzmo, then even in the reisha, the one who did act and retrieve the things should be able to keep it for himself even without the announcement. They, the owners, where they couldn't have saved it, they gave up hope on it. So why should the one who actually retrieved them not be able to keep it for himself under all circumstances? Omar Romi Bar Chama. You notice we have a triangle marking on the side under the Nosei / Mivneh heading. We indicate that these are three Hesberim, Lahasbir Ha'eftel Bein Reisha L'Seifa, three explanations to explain the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa. Binyan Amatzil Chafotzim Shel Acherim, regarding saving other people's items, Uzuchusoi Lahasik Bahem Lasmo, and the ability that he has to keep them for himself. So Rami Bar Chama tells us, Hocha B'Shutfen Askinan, we're talking about this Shayora, this caravan was made of partners. So that we had merchandise that was owned jointly. Ukigoin Zeh, and in a case like this where there is a money loss involved, Shutuf Chilek Shelo Ledas Chavero, one partner is entitled to disband the partnership without the approval of his friend. Namely, where there's a Ibud Mamon involved, loss of money, you can withdraw from the partnership even if your partner is not in agreement. Therefore, Omar Polig, if the one announces ahead of time, I am going to save these, I'm going to save the things and keep it for myself, so he can do so, Polig, and he can keep for himself whatever he saves, whatever he retrieves from the bandits. Lo Omar, if he doesn't make the announcement, lo Polig, then he cannot keep things that are not his. The Rashi that we'll look at together, you can see a little more than halfway down the Rashi column, Omar Polig Umaakev Chelko, he keeps as his portion Es Mashi Hitzil, whatever he saves. Lo Omar Lo Polig V'Shapir Ovad Moser Nafshei Isko Detravayu, if he doesn't announce ahead of time that what I keep, what I save, I'm going to keep, the fact that he extended himself to save, to retrieve from the bandits, does not prove that he is keeping it for himself, because we were talking about merchandise that was jointly held, and it's within the realm of reason that one member of a partnership will extend himself to preserve, to retrieve merchandise that's jointly held. Since he's a partner in it, it's common that people will exert themselves for all of the merchandise. That meaning that, on behalf of all of the other partners. Now we continue in the Gemara. Rova Omar, Hacha Bepoyalim Askinan Ucherav. The Rashi adds, Bepoyal Shehoya Sochir Lebalei Sfina Ukshein Yecholin Lahatzil. Rashi makes reference to a boat, but we can assume the same thing for the example in the source that we had here, a caravan. We're talking about a person that's hired to work for this communal effort. And Rashi adds, very importantly, it's a case where the owners of the items don't have the capacity of saving it. And now, the distinction between the Reisha and the Seifa. The Omar Rav, first of all, what's the premise? Rav's rule. Poyel yochel lavzer boy afilu b'chatzi hayom. A hired worker has the right to back out of his work, of his service, even in midday, even though he was hired to work a full day, he can back out half and half the day. And that's not considered, we'll say, a sinful act or a violation of the rules of workers. As long as he has not backed out, he's considered a functionary of the owners. And when he backs out, then that's governed by a separate point of reasoning. That is what the Almighty declares in the Pasuk. The nation of Israel are my servants, v'lo avodim l'avodim, and not servants of others. Therefore, as far as Rava is concerned, where he doesn't make an announcement and simply extends himself to save from the attackers, from the danger, he is working as a worker, and hence the saved goods are distributed amongst each one of the owners respectively. If, however, he announces that he is saving for himself, at that point, he's backing out of his role as a worker for the communal effort, and he's functioning as an independent individual. And as Rashi said, it's a situation where the others wouldn't have been able to save anyway. So there's no issue of the owners still having their anticipation, their mind on the items. No, they were misyayish. Rav Ashi, he has his approach, and we're talking not about a worker and not about partners, but some outsider. Kishiyochol lahatzal deyadchak, and we're talking about a case where the owners would have been able to save, but with great effort. Goli daite, if he makes the announcement, this person, this inish di alma, as Rashi refers to him, this outsider comes, and he announces, I am saving and I'm going to keep that which I save. So then, li'atzmo. The Rashi adds, quite importantly, the owners heard his announcement and they remained quiet, and they did not extend themselves, they didn't exert efforts to save their items, showing us that they have been mesiach das, they've essentially relinquished their claims on their items. They were misyayish, because they don't want to extend themselves to save it. Lo goli daite, if he didn't make that announcement, if this fellow who does the saving didn't make the announcement, so then leemsa, then each party, we don't have circumstances under which we can ascertain that they ever gave up hope, so they are entitled to they're entitled to receive their items that this brave man saved. Now Rashi adds that if the situation was such that the owners could have themselves, without extreme efforts, also retrieved their items, even if they heard him announce that I am going to save things and keep them for myself, he would not acquire, because where the owners could have themselves, without too much effort, saved the items, they were not misyayish, they did not give up hope on getting their items back. The Mishnah. Hagrizel soda mechaveroi, v'natlua masikin. Someone stole a piece of land from his friend, and robbers took it from the thief. Im makas medino hi, omer lo harei shel cholofonecha. What does makas medino mean? Rashi says, the ansua arasa dachrini udehech. These masikin, these robbers, were robbing land, many lands, not just this particular stolen piece of property, but other land, other parcels of land as well. If that's the case, then the thief featured at the beginning of this Mishnah, he can say to the owner, there's your field, it's out there, go take it. Im machmas hagazlon, Chayav Lahamid Lo Soda Acher. If the Masikin took the field as a result of the thief, then that thief has to replace the owner with another piece of property. His own property currently being possessed by these ruffians, thereby depriving him of any access to his own property. The opening piece of Gemara, you see a double underline marking, is featured on the side under our Nosei Mivne heading, Birur Lishoni. We call this a clarification of syntax, language analysis, Al Mishnosenu, regarding a word in the Mishnah, the word Masikin, O Matsikin, which is the word that's more accurate. Omer of Nachman bar Yitzchok, Man detoni Masikin lo Mishtabesh, Uman detoni Matsikin lo Mishtabesh. He who has as his version of the Mishnah the word Masikin is not in error, and he who has Matsikin as the version of the Mishnah is also not mistaken. Mandatoni Matsikin, if you have the word spelled with the tzadi in it, lo mishtabish, is not in error. Tichtiv, the posuk describes the motzer uva motzoik. Let's say an oppressive situation. And these bandits or ruffians can be therefore classified as matzikin, just like in the context of the posuk, motzor and motzok indicates a situation of a place under siege and oppression. Uman detoni masikin lo mishtabesh, he who has masikin as his version of the Mishnah, the word spelled with a samach, dichtiv, it's also accurate. The posuk says yirash hatzlotzal. U mitargaminon yachsenine sako. The posuk describes the locusts as inheriting. Locusts are a destructive form of insect, and when they come in swarms, they are also, this posuk, by the way, comes from the same context of, let's say, I should say, the same idea of oppression and destruction. So Yerusha Tzlotzal, you notice the word Tzlotzal, the Aramaic version of that is the word Sako, and the word Sako is related to Masikin. Tzlotzal, the Arbe, are described as thieves robbing people of their crops. The Aramaic version of that is Sako, hence the word Masikin, thieves. The word Yachsinine is the Targum, is the Aramaic of the word Yurash, to inherit. The Sako inherit, the thieves inherit. We continue with a quote from the Mishnah, Im Machmas HaGazlon Chayov. The Mishnah, in describing the thief who, after stealing the land, was in turn stolen from. In other words, the stolen land was then taken by other bandits. The Mishnah said if the theft was a result of the initial thief, so then he has to supply a new field to the owner, the one from whom he stole. Heichi domi. What are the circumstances? E lemo di ansuha le ara di day. Velo ansuha kule arasa. If these bandits took only that land, the land that he stole, and not other people's lands, ha me resha shamis mina. From the first part of the Mishnah, I would have realized this point. The ratio of the Mishnah said, Im makas medina hi, if it was an affliction of the entire community, meaning the bandits stole other people's lands as well. So the ratio said, then the thief does not bear personal responsibility for the loss of the land. And we would be able to infer from the resha, e lo lo, meaning, and if it's not a makas medina, then the thief would not be able to get away with simply saying hare shelcha lefanecha, but would have to replace the land. What therefore do I need the seifa of the Mishnah, where it spells out imachmas hagazlan lo tsricha di achvi achvuye. The machmas hagazlan featured at the end of the Mishnah is not speaking of a person that actually, let's say, physically possessed the land from the original owner, but rather the form of theft was in his pointing out the land. Rashi, what do we mean by pointing out the land? The achvi achvi shelo gozlehu atzmo. The thief in the Mishnah is not one who actually stole it himself. Elo shoma mi beis hamelech shemevakshim ligzol sodois. He heard that the king was going to plunder people's lands, was going to steal lands. Vehera lahem, and this individual that we refer to as the Gazlan, he pointed out to the Beis HaMelech, to the king's house, Telu Karka Zu Shalponi, take this land over here. So, pointing out the neighbor's land that they should take. That's called Imachmas HaGazlan. He is responsible, that particular how should we call him a lowlife? He who pointed out the land is responsible then to replace the land that he caused, which he caused a loss of. Lishno achrina hocha b'mayaskinon. Another explanation of the Mishnah that said imachmas hagazlon. He has to replace the land. Kagon the ansua akum. The Amri lay achvi arase. He was forced by idol worshippers who demanded, show us land. The achvi ahu bahadayu, and this person under duress of the idol worshippers pointed out this particular land amongst other lands. If he therefore cooperated with these idol worshipper ruffians, he has to compensate the owner of the land that he pointed out. Hahu gavro de achvi akario dechiti de bay reish galusa. There was a man who pointed out to plunderers a pile of wheat belonging to the Reish Galusa, to the exilarch. Also, lekamei de Rav Nachman. The case came to Rav Nachman. Chayvei Rav Nachman l'shlumei. Rav Nachman obligated this man who pointed out the pile of wheat to compensate the Reish Galusa for causing a loss of his wheat. Yosef, Rav Yosef, Achorei, the Rav Huna, Bar Chia. Rav Yosef was seated behind Rav Huna. Yosef, Rav Huna, Bar Chia, Kamei, the Rav Nachman. And Rav Huna was seated in front of Rav Nachman. Omar Le, Rav Huna, Bar Chia, the Rav Nachman. Dina o Knasa, is your ruling a ruling by letter of the law, or is it a Knas, a fine? Omar Le, Rav Nachman responded, Masnisen he. My ruling is based on the Mishnah. Disnan, Imachmas Hagazlon, Chayov Lahamid Lo Sode Acher. Ve Ukimno, the Achvi Achvuye. In our Mishnah, we saw a loss of land as a result of a theft, and we explained the Mishnah as someone pointing it out. So that this is not an individual isolated, my ruling is not an isolated fine upon the person who pointed out the pile of wheat, but rather it's din, it's a law that's on the books. Basu de Nofik, Omar Le Rav Yosef, the Rav Huna Bar Chia, After Rav Nachmon went out, Rav Yosef, who was present there, turns to Rav Huna and asks him, "My nafgaloch mine?" We continue at the top of Kuf Yud Zayin, E Dina E Knosa. What difference does it make to you whether the Rav Nachman's ruling was din or a knas? Omale, so Rav Huna responds, E Dina, if Rav Nachman's ruling was a standard law, then Gamrinon Mine, we could apply his ruling to other cases. We can learn from it. Rashi on the top line says, Gamrinon Mehai Maisa de Rav Nachman, Lashar Garme de Nezik and Alma. To other cases where direct loss is caused without without imposing physical damage. In the case of the loss of the wheat, the person who was found guilty for pointing out the pile of wheat, he didn't directly destroy the pile of wheat, but he was the direct cause of its loss. That's what we call garme in Nezikin, a form of causative damage, direct causative damage without physically diminishing or destroying the item. We continue in the Gemara, e knasa lo gamrino mine, and if you were to view Rav Nachman's ruling forcing the or imposing an obligation on the fellow to compensate the Reish Galusa, we wouldn't be able to learn from it to other cases. Rashi on the second line from the top says, V'iknosehu dekanse Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman imposed a fine on this particular individual, Mishum derogil hoya bekach. He was a regular in this foul behavior. Well, lo gamri nomine, we would not be able to conclude other cases based on this one. This was a special situation of a repeat offender who Rav Nachman had to come down with a ruling of guilt, which I couldn't necessarily extend to other cases of people pointing out property to others. Umino temra demiknosa lo gamrina. From where do we know that if a particular ruling is a knas, it does not serve as a basis to a basis of ruling in other cases? A knas, a ruling that's of a knas nature, is an individual, isolated ruling that does not serve as precedent for other cases. So from where do we know that principle? Desanya. Now, before we go further in the Gemara, we have a house marking, and on the side, under our Nosei/Mivne heading, these house markings are Nisyonis attempts. Where do I see through Tanaic sources that which is a knas ruling does not serve as a precedent for other cases, for other rulings? So the Gemara answers, Desanya, Borishona, at first, Hoyu Omrim, Hametamei Vahamenasech, one who defiles his friend's produce, one who ruins his friend's wine through nisuch. Nisuch would be an act of stirring the wine for an idol. That they used to hold these kind of people as guilty and obligated to compensate. Chozru lomar af hamedameat. They then had a subsequent ruling saying even one was medamea. Medamea is where he would mix truma into someone's chulin. Truma being a tithe given to kehanim, and he mixed in truma to someone's chulin, rendering it unfit for that party, and he would then have to sell this mixture to other kehanim. And now, in looking at these rulings, that a metame and menasech are considered violators and have to offer compensation, and then a special additional ruling for medamea, we say chozru in lo chozru lo. only because there was a special effort made by the rabbis to hold guilty a medamea. But if there wasn't a special official ruling like that, then we wouldn't hold the medamea guilty of making restitution. In other words, I wouldn't on my own have learned from medamea and menasech. My taima, why is that? Lav mishum de knosahu. Is it not so because menasech is a knas type payment? Uknosa lo gam rilmine. When it comes to fines, we don't learn from them. Lo. That's not the analysis of why Medamea eventually became Chayev through a special ruling, but rather, Meikora Savri, originally the rabbis thought, Lehefsid Meruba Choshishu, Lehefsid Mua Lo Choshishu. Only where there is great loss involved, total loss, like in the case of Menasech, the wine is rendered completely forbidden. There, the rabbis felt we must impose payment upon someone who ruins his friend's wine through Menasech, because there's a total loss. However, for a minor loss, like the case of Medamea, why do we refer to that as a minor loss? The mixed chulin and truma still has value, unlike the menasech. The yayin nesech has no value. It's usur even to benefit from it. Medamea, dimua, has value. However, it's a reduced value because the market that will consume it is more limited. It's just the kohanim. We call that a hefsid mu'at, a minor loss. So initially, in establishing penalties of compensation, the thinking was that we don't have to obligate the medamea to compensate. But later, savri lehefsid mu'at nami choshishu, that we have to impose financial restitution upon he who causes even minor loss as well. But once again, the point that a special ruling had to be made for Medamea as being chayav, obligated to compensate, is not an outgrowth of miknosa lo gamrinon. The Gemara asks, Eini, is this true? Is everything that we've said so far really true? Vaha tani avua de Rabbi Ovin. The father of Rabbi Ovin teaches the following source, Barishono Yomrim, Hametamei Vahamedamea, the one who defiles or one who mixes truma with someone's chulin, they have to compensate. Chozru, Lomar Afamenasech. There was a later ruling to impose financial liability upon someone who is Menasech, who stirs his friend's wine for idolatrous purposes. Chozru in lo, chozru lo. Because of a subsequent specific ruling, Menasech also became liable. If there wasn't a specific ruling, we wouldn't have obligated him. My time, why would we not have obligated the Menasech? Lav mishum de lo gamrinon miknosa. Is it not because we don't extrapolate, we don't derive conclusions from a knas payment? Lo. That's not the reason here for the need for a special ruling by Menasech. So how do you explain the double stage rulings? Meikara Savri Kerebi Ovin. Initially, the rabbis thought to rule like Rebi Ovin, who will appear later. Lulabasof Savri Kerebi Yirmiya. And then they changed their mind to rule like Rebi Yirmiya. And now the Gemara explains the references to Rebi Ovin and Rebi Yirmiya. And we have marked them off using a squiggle underline, and also Aleph for Meikara Savri Kerebi Ovin, and then Beis Ulebesof Savri Kerebi Yirmiya. Meikara Savri Kerebi Ovin, Domer Rebi Ovin, the initial thinking whereby the Menasech would have been innocent from financial restitution is through Rabbi Ovin's way of looking at things. Now, Rabbi Ovin says a halacha regarding Hilchus Shabbos. Hilchus Shabbos, one who violates Shabbos is guilty of a capital offense. In the course of violating Shabbos with one of the 39 prohibited activities, he might also be causing a financial loss to someone. In other words, while violating Shabbos, you're also causing financial loss. Rabbi Ovin gives us an illustration of this. Zorak chetz mitchilas arba besoif arba. Person shot an arrow, and he did so in a public thoroughfare. The transfer of an item four amos or more in a public thoroughfare on Shabbos constitutes a Shabbos violation. So shooting the arrow in the public domain, traveling four amos, represents a capital offense. And in the flight, the Korah Shiroyan, it tore some fabric. Imagine someone had hung on a clothesline some fabric in a public thoroughfare, and someone shot an arrow, ripping the fabric in its flight, of four amos. Potter, let me read that phrase again. Because shirayin b'halichoso, the arrow tore the shirayin, the fabric in its flight. We say potter, the offender is exempt from needing to make financial restitution. Why? Sharei akiro tzorech hanochahi, the picking up of the arrow was in anticipation of it eventually landing. So that the shooting of the arrow, from the point he picked up the arrow to shoot it, and its eventual landing, is one continuous act of a Shabbos violation. So it's an akira, a picking up of the arrow, with the landing in mind. Umischayev benafsho. And as a result, he is in violation of a capital offense. So at the time that he's in violation of Shabbos, he also caused financial loss. That's called misa, death, mamon, finances, coming simultaneously. Boy kechad. And in cases like that, we have a rule that says we apply only the more severe punishment upon the offender. And using that analogy, where two acts happen simultaneously and the punishment is for only the more severe one. Likewise, in our case where someone was menasech, what did he do? He picked up someone's barrel of wine with the intention of stirring it for idolatrous purposes. So that involves a financial loss of the wine, but also a capital offense of idolatry. And therefore, the initial thinking in this particular Tanaic source that we saw toward the end of the narrow lines of Gemara would have held exempt the menasech from financial reparation. The ubasof, savri krib yirmiya, but then there was a change of thinking to adopt Reb Yirmiya's approach. The Omer of Rabbi Yirmiyah, with regard to the wine and the nisuf, says mishas hagbo kanya chayev le'mamon. When the offender picked up his friend's barrel of wine, at that point he acquires it in the sense of, we'll call it theft. He acquires it and becomes obligated to offer restitution for the wine. The capital offense, that is only when he starts to stir the wine with idolatrous intentions, so that the financial obligation is not simultaneous with the capital offense. The financial obligation setting in before the capital offense takes place. Therefore, the menasech is obligated to compensate the owner of the wine. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.